You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Chwaba.
It's John and Gordy in for Pete. Our final night filling in. He'll be back again tomorrow night.
That's right. Conrad is in the producer chair. And Conrad, did you like those ghost stories you heard in the first hour?
Yeah, it's. I got a little scared because I'm here at the studio by myself, you know. So,
oh boy,
well, turn out all
we
the lights.
I warned you, man.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh boy.
You never saw a ghost, right? Is that what you said?
No,
before
I think
we started the show.
I'm pretty sure it's just my cat the whole time, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. That's right. It's the wind. It's a branch on a tree outside scraping up against the window. I've heard them all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We are, again, filling in for Pete for tonight. If you'd like to join in the conversation, you can give us a call on the Civic Media line, 855-752-4842. Or you can text us. We've got a bunch of texts with UFO stories. Mm-hmm. And Greg Sisko, our UFO expert with the MUFON Network, is going to be joining us in about a half hour. And we've got some texts here from John and Madison. We'll get to all of these texts.
Yeah, John, we'll talk about your situation with our UFO guest or whatever they call those things now. Again, I don't know.
It's not UFO.
It
it's UAP or I don't know.
See?
UPI.
I don't. I could have made that guess. Just pick some letters out.
Yes. Anyway, Greg Sisko.
Yeah.
We've had him on our morning show. We do mornings on WMDX here in Madison, where we're broadcasting from this evening, and we're on from 6 to 8 a.m. If you ever want to check us out on the Civic Media app.
You said he wouldn't be on our show anymore, so we invited him on the late night show, thinking Neil won't remember.
Greg's a good guy. I've known
him
a long time.
Yeah.
He's into astronomy. He's into a lot of scientific things. Yeah. And
Well, we'll ask about the flying object. Well, I think it's going to pierce Earth, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes. There's some object coming through the solar system, and that's so we'll talk to Greg about that coming up.
All right, now let's get to robots. You know, they're going to replace us in the workplace, and I saw an interesting article on it. The article's titled, "People Like Extroverted Robots, But They Relate to Neurotic Ones."
What?
Okay, so
okay, what?
No big surprise there. Researchers who study how people react to robot personalities, do they, have recently found that neurotic traits in a robot can make them seem more relatable.
Okay.
Now, I would think every nerd out there who is into science fiction might already know this. Maybe. I don't know who these researchers are, but they're not nerdy. Have they never seen, like, Blade Runner? You saw Blade Runner, right? The original one?
Yes.
The Replicant, the bioengineered humanoid robot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he had feelings and memories.
Yeah.
That's what made him unique.
Okay.
And it really made that whole movie. In fact, Rutger Hauer played the Replicant.
Mm-hmm.
And he told, I saw this interview of him talking about how they gave him like five or six lines to read at the very end when he was with Harrison Ford.
Okay.
You know, that final speech.
Mm-hmm.
And he threw everything out except for the two lines that he did read.
Oh, yeah.
And I have that here for you. These are the words of the Replicant as he realized, and he saved Harrison Ford from falling off the building.
Okay.
And Harrison did not know why. Uh-huh. And this is that final speech from the Replicant, played by Rutger Hauer. Let's let's listen to cut 16.
All right, here we go.
All right, let's listen.
I've seen things you people wouldn't believe. Attack ships on fire off the shoulder of Orion. I watched sea beams glitter in the dark near the Tannhauser Gate. All those moments will be lost in time. Like tears in rain. Time to die.
And he did.
Mm-hmm. It was a great scene.
Great scene. Yeah. One of the great scenes in science fiction. And of course, you know, everybody could identify with that, and he kind of left that movie, everybody feeling a little differently about him, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how you relate to these robots who need feelings. Mm-hmm. Now,
the only one that I can really relate to, like a TV, like Star Robbie Trek, New Generation, Next Generation, Data.
Data, yeah.
Because he seemed to have some, you know, he was on the edge of emotion sometime, or would try to understand human emotion, and, you know, occasionally would be sort of humorous, or, you know, or at least on the edge of that.
Well, the guy who came up with AI...
Yeah.
Says that they should start programming a motherly feeling into AI.
Yeah.
So AI would feel some attachment to its creator or the person they're familiar with.
Some empathy.
So they don't kill that person.
that would be nice.
The guy who came up with AI says, I regret it because I think they're going to kill the human race. that was the headline.
kind of buried the lead there, didn't
well,
you?
Well, I did, mean, but I thought I'd give everybody the idea that, you know, if you program something else into the AI and they feel an attachment to you, an emotional attachment, and they can do that. They won't kill us.
Okay. Good.
Just to let you know.
Okay.
Good. Now, everybody remembers the lovable C-3PO.
Oh,
right?
Sure.
Well,
yeah.
Let's play cut 15 here.
Okay. All right,
let's hear it.
Okay.
R2-D2, where are you? At last. Where have you been? What are you talking about?
I'm going to regret this.
We seem to be made to suffer. It's our lot in life. I've got to rest before I fall apart. My joints are almost frozen. What a desolate place this is. It's much too rocky. That malfunctioning little twerp. This is all his fault. What message? The one you've just been playing. The one you're carrying inside your rusty innards. Have no more of this Obi-Wan Kenobi gibberish. You're fortunate he doesn't blast you into a million pieces right here.
No, I will not be quiet, Chewbacca. Why doesn't anyone listen to me? Surrender is a perfectly acceptable alternative in extreme circumstances. The Empire may be gracious enough.
How rude.
All right. Yeah, he was a little neurotic, I would think, yeah.
Who's that? That was C-3PO. Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
And there's another robot in Rogue One.
Oh.
That's a prequel to Star Wars, and it was K-2SO. He was really, really a great guy. In fact, turned out to be a hero. So, this is it. I got a better cut here. This is cut 17.
We've got plenty of time for this.
This is cut 17, and neurotic personalities are a staple of science fiction, and researchers are just noticing how lovable they can make human-killing robots sound. So let's listen to this little track.
Okay.
There's this famous list of basic personality traits that psychologists see in humans.
Most of them look into making your robots more extroverted.
But the researchers also sometimes gave this robot a very different personality, a neurotic personality. Neuroticism involves
a tendency to be more anxious, worries about their health, worries about, you know, their performance.
So, for this study, people were recruited at a museum in Chicago. Depending on the personality it had been given, the robot would respond in different ways. For example, the extrovert was enthusiastic. The neurotic version of the robot spoke with less certainty. The neurotic robot did provoke some interesting responses.
I would say like a majority of participants actually mentioned how human-like they found the neurotic robot. They found it to be a lot more relatable.
Imagine if your autonomous vehicle was neurotic. That's not a trait you'd be happy with, right? You get in the car and it's just not something you would like.
He says people don't want to spend a lot of money on a robot car that appears to lack confidence. But if you wanted to build, say, a robot comedian, some neuroticism might help. In the future, people may want to be able to tweak robot personalities so they're a better fit with their own.
See, they could replace comedians.
How is that going to work out? Robot comedians?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. That won't go over real well downstairs.
Yeah. That's right.
Comedy Club won't want to hear that.
No, I don't think so. Okay.
All right. Why don't we go back in time here? All right. This is cut three. Cue this up. In this ABC interview back in 1974, science fiction writer Arthur C. Clarke makes the bold claim that one day computers will allow people to work from home. Wow.
Really?
That's a great thought.
Wow.
And access their banking accounts as well. Let's listen to Arthur C. Clarke.
Okay.
I brought along my son Jonathan, who in the year 2001 will be the same age as I am now. Maybe he will be better adjusted to this kind of world that you're trying to portray.
The big difference when he grows up, in fact, if we wanted to wait for the year 2001, is that he will have in his own house, not a computer as big as this, but at least a console through which he can talk to his friendly local computer and get all the information he needs for his everyday life, like his bank statements, his theater reservations, all
amazing.
The information you need in the course of living in a complex modern society. This will be in a compact form in his own house. He'll have a television screen like these here and a keyboard, and he'll talk to the computer, get information from it, and he'll take it as much for granted as we take the telephone.
I wonder, though, what sort of a life would it be like in social terms? I mean, if our whole life is built around the computer, do we become a computer-dependent society and a computer-independent individuals?
In some ways, but they'll also enrich our society because it'll make it possible for us to live really anywhere we like. Any businessman, any executive could live almost anywhere on Earth and still do his business through a device like this. And this is a wonderful thing. It means we wanted to be stuck in cities, we better live out in the country or wherever we please, and still carry on complete interaction with human beings as well as with other computers.
There you go.
Wow,
wasn't that great?
That was spot on.
I know. The guy knew.
Arthur C. Clarke,
yeah. That's great
Pretty
stuff.
Pretty famous, yeah.
Okay, now, you know, we went through a very tough time there with VCRs and video cassettes, right?
I remember,
they were very expensive initially. I want to play cut seven because this is a perfect example of the pricing of these devices, which are no longer around because they're ridiculous. But let's listen to what we used to pay for this stuff.
Okay.
All right.
The video cassette recorder, or VCR, is one of the fastest growing products on the market. Now, it took 7 years for color television sales to pass the 200,000 mark. But this year alone, the industry expects to sell over 500,000 of these, even though they've only been on the market since 1975. Why this sudden popularity for a machine that costs close to $1,000? Here's Rhea with the answer.
Well, Larry, one reason is what the industry calls time shifting. Video cassette recorders, or VCRs, let you make your own TV schedule. You can record programs when you're not home, thanks to a timer. Or you can watch one program and record another. You can even tape your own home movies with the addition of a television camera. The average price these days for one of the Beta or VHS brands is around $900 or $1,000.
Wow.
Blank tapes range from $12 to $25. Now,
what?
If you don't
what?
Like homemade
what?
Movies like the one we just did, you can buy the Hollywood variety. On cassette, prices for pre-recorded cassettes are still high. It can cost you up to $75 a movie depending on the length. But there's still not much pre-recorded material available.
All right, okay, so $75 to buy your own movie, you know, whatever. Yeah.
And 20 or 25 bucks for a blank tape? Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty wild, isn't
it?
Prices have come down. In fact, they're gone now. So,
all right, we're going to take a quick time out here. It's John Peterson, Gordy Young filling in for Pete Schwabe on Nightlight. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Johnny Gordy filling in.
And coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to talk to Greg Sisko. He's a UFO expert. Right. He's with the MUFON organization, the Mutual UFO Network. And we've been getting some texts in here, some people with some experiences of UFO sightings. So we'll talk to Greg about some of that coming up about 15 minutes. Phone lines are open, and you can also text us on the Civic Media app if you want to call us, 855-752-4842. And text us. We have our question of the night. Have you ever seen a UFO? Have you
or
ever
ghost.
Seen or a ghost? We had our ghost expert
and
a little earlier.
If so, where?
Yeah.
And when?
Where and when? And tell us about it.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, you have another story to share with us. This is ghostly, really.
I was telling you off the air that I was getting a new bunch of speakers. And I'm getting the front three.
Okay.
You know, the two left, right, and now the center speaker.
Well, for people that don't know, John Peterson has this unbelievable movie theater in his living room with movie seating,
yes.
popcorn machines, right. a candy counter.
No, I don't all have kinds a candy of, counter.
An enormous screen, the biggest TV screen I've ever
well,
seen.
Well, no, it's only a 65-inch OLED. OLED.
Okay, but it's beautiful
screen.
You've ordered an 85-inch screen or something.
I wanted to.
Okay.
Yeah, it was on sale, but I didn't get it.
Okay.
I should have now.
But everything is state-of-the-art. Now you want to get new? What do you want to get?
Here's the thing. I thought it was state of the art.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm getting older. I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm losing some of the high ends.
Really?
But now I'm thinking that center speaker, the center speaker is the voice speaker.
Okay.
That's where you hear the dialogue.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time hearing it. Now, I know
there are different settings.
There's a problem in the way they produce movies nowadays. They have a lot of effects, very heavy in music, and you really do have a hard time, no matter what, whether you have good hearing or not, you have a hard time hearing the dialogue.
Yeah, well,
okay?
Sometimes.
Now,
but they do have different settings. I was just reading the other day. You can change some of the settings punch up the dialogue.
Yeah, well, you can turn the volume up for the center speaker.
Okay.
For any speaker, actually.
Yeah.
But I thought maybe that center speaker's not as good as it could be.
Okay.
So I ordered a whole bunch of new speakers.
Really?
That were Dolby Atmos compatible.
Okay.
So they're probably sitting out in the porch tonight. They're being delivered tonight.
Really?
But I thought
what's
I'd
your
bring,
address?
I thought I'd bring.
Anybody wants to know? I'm sure the boys are watching him, or maybe they brought him in already.
Well, we're broadcasting from Janesville this.
Okay. We're in beautiful Madison.
All right. Here, I brought it up only because you can go even a step further with 4D movie scent.
What?
It's being used now in people's homes. It's designed to add dimension to your favorite movies and TV shows by spraying aromas to match what's on the screen.
Oh, come on.
It'll spray the ocean's scent, fresh-cut grass, storms, spritzes all over the, all over
really?
The viewing area. and it's powerful enough to actually fill the room. But not overbearing, they say.
Okay.
So
are you going for that?
I wish I could, man. Uh-huh. This sounds really fun. 4D movie scent is compatible with any TV, computer, tablet, phone, gaming system, or VR headset. It costs about $148. That's it.
Well, that's
at
much.
Amazon, and it comes bundled with 6 scented bottles that last about 4,000 spritzes.
They have a counter on there, just you don't want to run out.
So if you're into seagoing movies, you can watch 4,000 seagoing movies. Additional bottles cost $20 each.
Gunpowder,
racing, explosion, fire, new car, and many more are available. It gets, by the way, 4.3 stars on Amazon.
Wow.
From the buyers.
Pretty good.
An adapter connects to the HDMI, audio jack, or optical audio cable connection. AI will then process what it hears in the cloud and then detect what scent is going to be spritzed into your room.
Wow, is this a visible spritz that just shoots out of the?
Well, I don't know.
I tried one in the living room.
I tried one of those sprayers you attach to a fan, you know, and it kind of cools you, but it was a little wet, so that wasn't helpful. Anyway, it's Elevated Perceptions, the company behind MovieScent. They released GameScent 2 for gamers, which incorporates gory options like gunfire, blood. The scent of blood. And the scent. You don't want the scent of zombie, do you? Well, they have that. They have that.
What would that? It would just smell like dead bodies?
Rotting dead flesh, I would assume, right?
Oh, God. You want that? Really? In your living room?
And, you know, they tout the fact that without AI, this would not be possible. So without AI interpreting what is next on your movie and what it should spritz into your face, well, you know, you're out of luck.
So that would scare your dog. Wouldn't that be fun to do that to a dog? Your pets would just be going nuts,
well, our
especially
dog,
dogs. While,
watches the TV with us.
Really?
Yeah, sometimes.
And dogs are very sensitive to smell.
You think?
You know? So, yeah, well, they freak out.
Yeah.
What are all these smells coming out? Jeez. So what's this called? What's this system called?
It's called Movie Scent. You can look it up on Amazon and maybe get it. I don't think it's outrageously expensive, $148. My speakers cost about $500.
Jeez. So do they have this in some movie theaters? I think they do.
I think they have experimented with it. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well,
I'm sure it went over as well as 3D. Look, they should have more 3D movies out there with the polarized lenses. Those were really good.
Really?
Yeah,
they've tried that time and again. I've never found any 3D that really
the looks red
good.
And blue didn't work real well. But
yeah, I don't like wearing the cardboard glasses that fall apart off
But
face.
Yeah, the cardboard glasses that have the polarized lenses make 3D look really, really good.
Okay, good to know.
But
all right. Hey, after we take a short time out here, we will be joined by Greg Sisko. He's with the MUFON Network. That's the Mutual UFO Network. And we're taking your texts on the Civic Media app. You can send us your UFO sighting stories. We'll be back. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwava. It's John Peterson, Gordy Young filling in. Coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwava. Pete will be back tomorrow night. John Peterson, Gordy Young filling in for Pete this evening. And along with our producer, Pete's producer, Conrad. And time now to welcome in our guest for this half hour, Greg Sisko. Greg is with the Mutual UFO Network. Greg, good evening to you. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thanks for having me.
Yes, good to have you again.
Been a while.
It has been a while. Now we're getting some texts here. We asked the question earlier today about getting people that have seen UFOs or think that they've seen UFOs, and we'll share a couple of those in a minute. But I want to start out by playing something that I found from Joe Rogan, and this was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And Conrad, if you can get that cut, this is talking about this object that appears to be coming into the solar system, or maybe is already in our solar system, and this is getting the attention of NASA and some professors and scientists. So, Conrad, go ahead and play that cut. This is from Joe Rogan's show.
Some intergalactic object that's hurt. This is this guy, Avi Loeb. He's a professor at Harvard that believes it might be an alien probe. And he was talking about the odds of this thing being in the trajectory that it is, entering into our solar system in a direct path with Earth. And at the place where it's doing it, it's when the Earth is the opposite side of the sun. So it's coming from behind the sun. And it's so it makes it difficult to detect. And that this object is in a direct line to come to Earth in 2027. Scientists give chilling update on mysterious interstellar object racing through our solar system as they warn it's even bigger than we thought. Experts have revealed just how big the object dubbed 31 Atlas really is. According to their analysis, the object measures roughly 7 miles in diameter, bigger than Mount Everest, making it the largest interstellar object ever spotted. Professor Avi Loeb, theoretical physicist and cosmologist from Harvard University, suggested the object could be an alien spacecraft. But Harvard's legit, and Avi Loeb is a legit astronomer. There's something about it about the way it's traveling, that it's bizarre. But it doesn't have a trail like a comet does. More than 200 researchers have confirmed the likely size of the comet's main body, known as its nucleus. Their analysis suggests the nucleus has a radius of around 3.5 miles. That translates to a diameter or width of about 7 miles. Previously speaking to Mail Online, Professor Loeb pointed out that its impressive speed of 130,000 miles per hour as an indication that it might be controlled by aliens. He said it's difficult to imagine a natural process that would favor a plunge towards the inner solar system at 60 kilometers per second, he said. An alternative is that the object targets the inner solar system by some technological design.
Okay. So Greg Sisko from the MUFON Network, what is going on?
Yeah, what's happening
What
here?
Is this thing?
Wow.
What have you heard about it?
First off, it's not called 31 Atlas. It's called 3I Atlas, and that is because it is the third interstellar object that's been discovered by a telescope system called Atlas. And what Atlas stands for is Asteroid Terrestrial Impact Last Alert System. So what it means in layman's terms is it's the last alert system for asteroid impacts on Earth. So just like that movie, like in the 90s or whatever, where they were had a big meteor coming in. Well,
don't
now
look
we've
up.
Got, yeah, we've got probably at least three different systems scanning the sky and surveying for these types of objects. And Atlas has found many comets that I've used with my telescope, you know, taking pictures of. So what Avi Loeb is talking about is Hubble Space Telescope took a picture of 3I Atlas. Okay. And the luminance that was in the image was greater than what you would expect from a 4-mile-wide object. He says the object would have to be the size of Manhattan, which is like 20 kilometers. And 3I Atlas is like 7 kilometers or something like that. So it doesn't have enough size to reflect the amount of sunlight needed to properly show the luminance that they're seeing, he says. And so because of that, he thinks that it's a nuclear-powered spacecraft that's illuminating its own light. Somehow, the object is emitting X number of light, you know, and the size that they figure the nucleus isn't large enough to reflect that much sunlight to cause what they're seeing. So the other thing that Joe Rogan kind of touched on, but not really, was the object that's going to come around in 2027 is not this object.
Oh, okay.
So when this object was discovered, it was discovered July 1st. It was just inside the orbit of Jupiter, and it's going to pass outside on the other side of the solar system. It's going to leave the other side of Jupiter's orbit probably by December January. So it's going to pass by Venus, Jupiter, and Mars, and it's going to be closest to the sun on October 29th. And at that same time, if you look at Google some NASA images about this, you'll see that the comet is right next to the orbit of Mars, and Mars is right next to the comet. So the comet, or the whatever this object is going to be right next to Mars, and they're going to do who knows what. But the aliens on this comet
spacecraft,
who knows what. Yeah. But like they said, the Earth is going to be on the other side of the sun. So we're going to be blind. We have no idea what's going to happen.
Okay.
Now I at least I can enjoy my new speakers that I'm getting for for the living room.
It is not going to come anywhere near Earth.
Okay.
All right.
So forget that. Now
what about the other object?
Yeah.
So the 2027 thing, if you Google Project Bluebeam.
Bluebeam.
What there's some object that Lou Elizondo's talking about. Something's going to happen in 2027. And the government, like since you guys follow Trump a lot, the government is going to do something to have a government throughout the world to merge everybody together to defend against the aliens, like what Reagan was talking about in the 80s when he went to the UN.
Okay, well, that's comforting.
But, you know, but Project Bluebeam is like a wag the dog kind of fake thing that somebody would have to push on the entire world population to make a one world government is what Project Bluebeam is. But they're using an alien invasion to simulate this, to propagate this. And it's supposed to happen in 2027. There's something that's going to happen in 2027. It could be Project Bluebeam. It could be another object that they're not telling us about.
Yeah.
The government is famous for not telling us exactly what it knows about UFOs.
Okay.
So they're going to use this to get the entire globe to be one world government
under Trump.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Not under Trump. I mean, he's got swollen ankles. He's got a thing on his hand. Who knows what's going on? He's got a thing on both hands, actually.
Yeah, so, right. Yeah, I see that.
It's an amazing thing, and we'll be the laughing stock of the entire world if this doesn't work out.
Okay. So now, Greg, I know that you've we're talking with Greg Sisko from MUFON, and MUFON stands for the Mutual UFO Network. Yeah. So you've been doing this kind of a long. How long have you been with MUFON? How long have you been looking into UFO sightings?
11 years. Kind of,
okay. So you've read a number of government reports. I know you're deep into this. So just analyze all of this stuff for us with these objects heading our way. And how much of it should we really be concerned about? I mean, is it something that scientists are really taking a close look and
the objects
that we're planning to do something? Yeah.
Not so much. Okay. But what you should be paying attention to are the recent whistleblowers that are coming out. There's going to be a congressional hearing September 8th or 9th.
Yeah. What's that about?
UFOs. That's going to be more whistleblowers. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys are aware, but what the recent whistleblowers have been saying is the Legacy program has been capturing, collecting, harvesting the alien technology for decades. Mm-hmm. And that's what these whistleblowers are saying. And what they are saying matches information that a legendary UFO researcher named Leonard Stringfield wrote about 45 years ago. And that's what I gave my talk at the MUFON symposium about. It was called Stringfield's Echo, because all these whistleblowers are echoing what Leonard Stringfield said 45 years ago. It's unbelievable. Almost exact descriptions of scenarios.
Okay,
there's some truth to it then.
But we talked a couple of days ago, and you briefly touched on this, and there's some biomedical biometrics or something.
Yeah, well, what Jake Barber is a tier one operator, and he actually worked for the Legacy program recovering down spacecraft, is what he says. Mm.
Okay.
He says that they have a team of psionics that psychologically connect to the UFOs and, in quote unquote, invite them to land. If they don't land, they have a device that they blast the UFOs with and brings them down, and then they harvest the technology. That's what's going on. Lou Elizondo wrote his book Eminent, which came out in 2024, and he said the exact same thing on page 244. If you have that book, check out 244. It's exactly the same thing that Jake Barber's talking about. So
that's wild. Yeah.
Is it real? Are there really aliens? Why are these people saying the exact same thing that Leonard Stringfield wrote about 45 years ago?
Mm.
I've got goosebumps.
So the whistleblower, that's September 8th and 9th that we'll find out some of this 9th. Kind
yeah.
of
I think it's the
information.
September, let me see. I'm on my computer here. Let me look at my calendar real quick.
But these are like congressional hearings, or is this Pentagon stuff or what?
No, it's a congressional hearing. It's going to be, I think, Monday, September 8th.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Or 9th if that's Labor Day weekend. It could be the
9th. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Wow. But
mark that on your calendar to check that
we
out.
We are. We're going to definitely check that out. We have a couple texts here.
Yeah, we've got one here. Take this, Greg. It says, hey, guys. They're asking what your thoughts are about is that MARFA lights?
Yeah.
MARFA lights. What is that? And
UFO
or not is the question.
It could be. I Googled it. I hadn't heard about it. And there's so many things like that you just you can't hear about everything. So I Googled it. It's something that's been going on since 1880.
Wow. Where?
In Texas.
in Texas. Okay.
The Lubbock Lights is a very famous one of the classics. In it was a group of like a chevron shaped arrangement of probably 20 lights that was going over Lubbock, Texas.
Sure.
A wedge, like a triangle.
They have film of that, right? Captured pardon? That? They have film of that, right?
So there's a guy who took a picture with his Browning camera or whatever those were back in 1950 or whenever that was. So those lights have been, I'm not going to say that there's nothing to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we've got a couple of other questions here, but we're going to take a quick time out. But one is from Madison here. Saw a tube-shaped UFO as big as a jumbo jet in 1972 when I was 7 years old in Freeport, Illinois. Told my mom that I had seen a rocket at Bidwell Park there, hovering above and just above the treetops, about 60 feet up. I know you hear all these stories.
Made a huge shadow, he said.
Made a shadow. All right, we can talk about this and maybe a couple other sightings that you know about that you can tell us more about.
Yeah, we've got to take a break here.
Mm-hmm. We'll be back with Greg Sisko, MUFON UFO expert, on the Nightlight Show with Pete Schwab. It's John and Gordy sitting in, coming right back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is Nightlight. John and Gordy filling in for Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mm-hmm. Pete will be back tomorrow night. We're continuing our conversation here with Greg Sisko. He's a UFO expert with the MUFON Network.
Scaring the daylights out of us. You know. Yes.
Buckle up.
Well, you know, there's so much going on in the Trump administration. All we need are aliens now.
Showing up. That's great. I want to continue this one text that we got here, Greg, and see what you think about this, because this goes back to 1972. I know that was before you started really investigating UFOs, but this thing happened around Freeport, Illinois, and John texted us that this UFO was hovering above, scroll back up there just a little bit, there we go, it was the size of a jumbo jet. He was 7 years old when he saw this above Freeport, Illinois. He told his mom he saw a rocket. It was about 60 feet up above the treetops. Made a huge shadow over him. Mom didn't believe me, and that was that. Not sure where my implant might be.
Yeah, where would the implant be?
And then he asked a little bit later on if there were any similar sightings, 1972, Freeport, Illinois. I don't know if there's any way you can look any of that kind of stuff up, Greg. You've been doing these kind of investigations a long time.
Yeah.
Do you hear similar stories? I mean, that you cross-reference and find out, that many people saw the same kind of phenomena. Have you personally done some of those kind of investigations?
There are stories like that constantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had my own sighting same time.
Yeah.
Okay, so when it was like in the late 60s, early 70s, my mother, my brother, and I went to the drugstore to get some medicine for my dad, who was sick. So when we get home, we saw this orange square object in the sky over in the east. And my mom like flipped out. And I was like 12 years old. My mom was probably 32, 33, something like that. So it's an adult in the prime of their life, and she's like flipping out. So us kids, me and my brother, we're not doing all that great because mom is flipping out, and we all saw this object that was like hovering over, well, it was like a restaurant, but it wasn't like a sign that had like Eat at Joe's or anything like that. It was just sitting there.
That would have been kind
of
cool.
Well, they might have had good food. You never know. I mean,
maybe they needed a rest stop.
The restaurant was probably 2 miles east of us in Warrenville.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, really? Okay.
We, because of my mom's reaction, she forced us kids to go inside. Mm-hmm. I remembered what it looked like. It was like a square with very specific corners. Mm. And it had like orange with a black outline.
Mm. Wow. And that's very specific.
Yeah, it is. And we didn't talk about that for 40 years until I joined MUFON. Then I asked my brother and my mom, who was in her 80s at the time, and she remembered everything better than my brother and I. Mm, so, okay. And we all had the same story. So,
yeah.
She said that for sure, whatever she saw was a craft.
Wow.
And she, as she got older, she started having some issues, aging issues. And so she wasn't clear on a lot of things, but she was sure clear about that. So,
well, you know, there is a Bizarro Planet, which was square. And, who are the Star Trek Star Trek aliens that were a little had the, oh, the Borg. Square the Borg
oh the Borg
yes it could have been okay. You might have actually seen the Borg.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah,
well, it could have been the moon coming up, right? Because it was that, close to the horizon.
Yeah,
so we have modern planetarium programs that you can dial in any time and date. So I went to the summer of like 1970, say, I set my location to Warrenville, where I grew up, and I looked for the moon rising in the
east.
That's
a great idea. Yeah.
And it's on the wrong side of the road in the summertime. So this was in the summertime. So we saw the object, the moon did not rise during the time of the year that we saw this object. Yeah.
Wow, that's great. Amazing stuff. What a great story. And that's what kind of got you interested in all this, right?
It didn't hurt. When I was growing up, my parents had UFO magazines all over the place.
Oh, really?
So I actually built a UFO detector, which detects magnetic fields, well as like a 9-year-old kid could do.
Yes.
And now that I'm grown up, they're still talking about magnetism with the UFOs. That's still, it was a thing back in the 70s and 60s. It's a thing right now.
Well, what is the thing with magnetism and the UFOs?
Is that how they get propelled?
That is what some people believe.
That's what the theory would be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff.
I retired from Fermilab after 40 years, and I have a friend who's like a real scientist.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude, you need to go?
No. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up. We got about a minute left. I did want to ask you, Greg, if people are interested in finding out more about UFOs or some really good sites to go to. Yeah. You mentioned one before, and I wrote it down, but now I can't find it.
So we're going to have to talk to you more often because, you know, things are happening. You know, and these hearings are going on the 9th, so maybe, we're going to have to touch base.
Well, maybe you could have me on after the congressional hearing.
Why do we do that? Can do that.
Yeah.
Do a debrief, a UFO debrief.
Exactly.
All right. But recommend a site or two that people can go to find out more information about, you know, strange objects headed toward our solar system and things like that.
The best place I know to go to is on YouTube and look up Ross Coulthard Reality Check.
Okay.
And that's the one program that is constant. Check out News Nation. And Elizabeth Vargas and actually Como.
All right, and Greg, if you could email Gordy and tell him when those hearings are on, and
that'd be great.
Then we could really check that out. Okay.
And do you want to put out an email that people can reach you at? You have something?
Thorshammer@ancientstargate.net.
All right.
Thorshammer@ancientstargate.net. Okay.
It's spelled just like you say it.
Okay. Right. Greg Sisko, thanks for being with us. Yep. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you after those hearings, okay?
Okay.
All right. Connect. And that's going to do it for us. We got to get out
of
here.
Fun.
Thanks for Pete. He'll be back tomorrow night. Civic Media.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.